And we're now live.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Carl Yam, the president for the LTD board. I'd like to welcome all the board members, LTD staff, and the members of the public to our special board meeting. Today is Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. It's 4:30 p.m. And let's do a quick call to order. I'm calling this meeting to order. We will start with a roll call. Josh Scove.
Here.
Don Norden.
Here.
Caitlin Vargas. I think Caitlin's having audio problems. So I'm acknowledging her presence for her. Stephen Yet. I don't think we have Stephen today. And Emily Secord. Great. Thank you, fellow board members. This is an all-volunteer position, and I appreciate you and your time and your commitment to coming to all these meetings and serving the public. I just have one quick comment. On top of serving on all these meetings, we are in the middle of our general manager, actually the beginning of our general manager evaluation, and all of the board members have received their assignments to interview certain community members to gather more information. Just want to remind everyone, those are due September 21st to Camille. So thank you in advance for doing that. AJ, do you have any comments as general manager?
I do not.
Great, thanks, AJ. We'll move on to announcements and additions to the agenda. Okay, scanning the room, I don't see anybody, and I don't see any hands raised. So we'll go ahead and move to the next. We'll go straight to the ridership and operations update with Tom. Are you gonna be the one giving that to us today? Are you on mute, or is that?
No, well, yeah, we're going to switch it up. Tom will be giving the ridership update after AJ and I kind of lay out some additional information.
That's great. So I'll hand it off to you and AJ then.
Okay. AJ, get to kick it off.
Give me a minute. I have technical difficulties. Sorry. Give me a minute. Don't know why this is not working. Let me begin a little bit while I get. We plan for technical difficulties, Mark. So if I can't get going in.
Well, we can hear you okay.
Yeah, on my end, it's okay. Let me begin by trying to figure out how I deal with this. Okay, sorry about it. It's on my end. My computer is kind of stuck. So today we're going to start a little bit different. We plan for technical difficulties. So Mark has my notes in case I break away. But what we wanted to do is, given that the board provided extra time, and we want to thank you for providing extra time to review how COVID-19 has affected our operation. We want to use this time to really start with those key areas in which we feel that after 6 months of doing COVID-19 operation, we can talk a little bit about what we've learned from it, but also how we plan to manage moving forward. There'll be a few areas that we want to cover. So I will cover the administration side of some of what we've learned, what we plan to do to address it. I'll turn it over to Mark Johnson, and what he will do is he'll give you an overview of kind of what's happened in the front line and what's affected it. And he will coordinate that communication with operations and maintenance, so you'll hear from them. And then we'll finalize today's meeting with our presentation from Tom. And Tom will focus on our ridership as he's done in the past, but also talk to you a little bit about moving forward, some of our next steps, what he sees on the passenger loads on that. So given kind of that outline, are there any questions about that for today? Nope, okay. So let me begin for administration. So what we've identified is for the, we've laid off 14 employees, 11 of them, I believe, were full-time, and 3 of them were part-time. And we did that in anticipation of the fiscal year in which we knew that there would be revenue loss because of COVID-19. And to adjust to that, as we made those decisions, we knew that we also had to take other measures. So we implemented for the remaining approximately 75 employees, administration, not represented employees, we implemented furloughs, and that's 12 furloughs per employee per year. And we've been doing that now since April when the employees were laid off, but the furloughs themselves were not implemented till July. So most employees have taken some form of furloughs for July and August. And what we have identified is that employees who have taken on the additional duties for employees that are not here, plus the furloughs, creates a problem in trying to meet deadlines, in trying to address the needs, that because of COVID, there are other requirements on us. We are, whenever possible, still doing remote working to minimize the number of employees. Some employees do come incidentally into the building when they do need to meet or need other resources that are, of course, are not provided at home. So we do have some employees that come in from time to time or as needed to meet their needs, but we do not have a full workforce. So all of these challenges that we've identified, we know that we need to address. So we will not be asking you to make a decision today about any of this, but we want to tell you that we do have a plan forward, and we will come back to you at the regular meeting in September, on September 16th, to talk to you about financial impacts of this plan. And the plan would be, on the administration side, would be to suspend the furloughs for the rest of the year. And of course, there's financial implications to that. And of course, we would talk to you about those at the September meeting. But we definitely want to get your input today. And my computer suddenly start working again. So what we wanted to talk to you about for admin, and additionally, we identified that in finance, with the needs that we know that we will have for competitive dollars, especially through the state transportation improvement fund, that the legislature did make some changes to allow for those dollars to be used for service. We will have reporting requirements, checks and balances that we'll need to manage, and we plan to apply for competitive dollars that is scheduled for November 1st. But even beyond that, those dollars will need to be managed. And because of that, we identified that currently, under our current structure, we do not have the adequate checks and balances that we would need to be successful in doing all of those moving pieces. So another element will be that on the admin side, to hire a state grants person for finance so that the appropriate checks and balances are in place for those dollars. And this would be managing millions of dollars in not just statewide dollars, but also in dollars for other opportunities such as 5310, 5311, and 5339 dollars. And these are all federal dollars as well that come through the state and we are eligible to apply. So we hope to be able to have that. We also identified, as I said, areas, and that's the bigger portion of today's presentation, and that is the operations and maintenance. But I'm gonna turn that over to Mark, who really has been leading those efforts and working with ops and maintenance for that. So Mark, I'm gonna turn it over to you, and hopefully my computer starts working.
Yep, thanks, AJ. So, you know, it's been 6 months since we've been involved with COVID, and it's, you know, I don't know if it seems like it's been longer or less time, but, you know, there's been a lot going on since March. And I'm just going to walk you through some of the decisions that we've made and then kind of the impacts of those decisions. So we decided early on to take public health first approach to service and employee safety. And we responded quickly to the community shutdown due to COVID-19 and the corresponding reduction in ridership and the increase in unemployment by reducing service and reducing the workforce. We were early adopters of the free fares and only rear door boarding. And we were early adopters of mandatory masks. We've been going above and beyond recommended guidelines for wiping down buses and retained nearly 30 bus operators to do that. In addition to COVID complications, there were also Black Lives Matter demonstrations that were having to be responded to nightly for a while. And so all of those things have impacted, you know, operationally how we acted in our service area. So here's some of the results. So we've had no employee COVID cases related to LTD activity. The steps we took and are taking protected our employees. That was our number one goal in looking at a public health approach and a employee health approach. So what we've done, we have zero cases related to LTD. That's exactly the goal we were looking for. So we're very happy about that. The financial decisions we made put LTD in a place where we can add service and look at how we come out of this for the long-term service plan based on a sustainable level of service, customer demand, and financial uncertainty. Currently, there's a lot of agencies who made different decisions and have suffered COVID cases among employees and are in financial trouble because they used all of their CARES Act money and are now having to lay off employees and reduce service as demand is increasing. LTD will increase service, hire back some employees to support the service increases, and continue to operate safely based on CDC and local health reporting recommendations. LTD made the right decision to keep people safe and put the district in a financial condition to be able to provide a sustainable level of service for the long term without depending on federal assistance for operations. Retaining bus operators to do wipe down on buses it may have been a mistake for the long term, but because it's really not meaningful work for them, and after several months, that's kind of showing. Service to our customers have suffered, and we are leaving people to catch the next bus. On 10 or 20 minute service, that may not be a big issue, but on hourly service, it is. We're in the process of determining how much much of it will be resolved with fall bid, but the governor is still recommending only essential trips. So finding that balance is really our goal to try to figure out, okay, how do we continue to provide safe service and still convenient and useful service to people. Furloughs for supervisors has left a hole in the coverage in the field. So there appears to be a lack of day-to-day support. Jake and Matt will discuss the steps that they'll be taking to address some of the employee concerns and ensure that we have staffing plans in place to support the increased service levels and continued COVID-related issues. And this has been a moving target from day one. As staff has gotten new information or recommendations, the district has responded in the best interest of employees, the public, and the long-term viability of the district. At the regular board meeting, we'll provide a financial update and a recommendation for service going forward. I'm now going to turn it over to Matt Imlach, and he's going to talk about maintenance and some steps he's taking to increase support there.
Thank you, Mark. So as we looked at our budgetary projections and really looked at that health first, one of the things that we chose here in Fleet, we had a reduction of 2 support people, office staff, that had to be made. This took us from a staff of about 6 support people in Fleet to 4, to support a team of over 30 frontline staff members across about 20 and a half hours of a day across 7 days a week. It was a tough decision, a difficult decision, but we did want to ensure that we had staff continuing to set us up for success for the daily frontline activities that the Fleet team does and provides to the community. So this currently leaves us with 4 people. We have 2 shift supervisors. We have a sustainable program manager. Many of you know her, Kelly Hale, who really works on a lot of the sustainability initiatives we have. And then we have myself, the director of Fleet Management. This support level that we currently have is a historic low for LTD. And then as we look at our peer partner agencies, having four people supportive team of this size, as well as a service that we span is unique. These budgeted, we have some budgeted positions that we're looking at, but we have delayed for that as a result to understand our revenue uncertainties. So Fleet plans to add two support staff positions to ensure our frontline employees are adequately supported. The first position we're looking at is a fleet manager, a maintenance manager. This position will help to oversee our shift supervisors as well as the daily shop activities to provide adequate support to our frontline staff. And then second position is an analyst. This position will allow a more data-driven approach to our maintenance to ensure we are maximizing our fleet to the extent practical. This plan aims to help the fleet team to provide our community with the revenue hours and miles services that we need while maintaining our fleet adequately and efficiently. So, and then I think I will hand it back over to Mark, who will then give it to Jake.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So Jake, you know, works directly with bus operators and supervisors, and so he's also put a plan in place to kind of effectively deal with some of the issues that they're facing. Take it away, Jake.
Sure, thanks, Mark. So my recommendations basically support the frontline employees and address some of the areas that have been challenging since LTD reduced staff, both represented employees and administrative. As we navigate through the pandemic, we've learned there are some areas that we can contribute immediately to alleviate some of the stress, the workload, and support our goal of safely transporting customers. So my first recommendation is to recall 10 to 12 bus operators. This is recommended to not only support the added service, but to continue a joint effort between the union and the district to utilize the existing employees to sanitize our coaches. We've been proactive in sanitation commitment and want to continue to follow the CDC recommendations on sanitation. The need to increase our frontline staff is also contributed by some of the recent retirements that we've had and a higher absentee level that's associated with several things, including but definitely not limited to the current pandemic. Many of our operators are working through the challenge of childcare and school starting up in the fall. We also have the ability to utilize bus operators that are sanitizing to support the system. In emergency situations, operators assigned to the sanitation are able to transport customers or fill in as needed in the event of overloads or other related resources. Currently, we're at a level that we're losing some of those resources in regards to operators being able to assist that way. So bringing back some operators would definitely help that cause. Next recommendation would be to rehire a PSO and a field supervisor. PSO stands for Public Safety Officer. With our decision to discontinue fare collection came some new challenges in regard to ridership and incidents. The non-essential ridership seems to have crept up, and we are seeing a variety of individuals ride the bus that we have never seen before. This group of ridership has gotten familiar with our policies and procedures and has contributed to some of the safety concerns and incidents operators are experiencing. We continue to be involved in maintaining a reliable service in the midst of a protest and in some of the cases, violent behavior. Fortunately, we've done a good job of avoiding areas where these events have taken place with very minor incidents. Getting more coverage and support in the system will not only benefit our employees, but will assist in rebuilding transit, ensuring that we put safety first. The next recommendation is adding a COVID-19 pandemic supervisor, and this would be for the duration of the pandemic. So this wouldn't be a full-time position after we get through this thing, hopefully sooner than later. As an organization, several different departments are assisting in our day-to-day operations in regards to the pandemic. While we're working hard and doing the best we can to supervise and manage, we can and we should do better. Adding this position is vital to our overall management of the pandemic. This person would be responsible for day-to-day management of everything COVID-19 related. This would include everything from overloads, sanitation crews, complaints, safety concerns, and the list goes on. This individual will report directly to me and provide the structure needed to address immediate issues and move forward. I also see this person involved in a regular scheduled meetings with the ATU to provide updates and the opportunity to work together to address concerns. The next consideration that I put is an operations manager, basically a contracted position. So the current operations manager has been off work for over 5 months with no timeline on a return to work. The goal of this position would be to provide leadership management experience and improve processes and operations training in public safety departments. This would also assist in the succession plan within the department. This would be a contracted position with an option to renew if and when the operations manager returns. This position would no longer be needed. Kind of summarize, these requests are all designed to support our frontline employees and provide a safe environment for the employee and the customer. These positions are basically being added back and do not exceed previous positions held pre-pandemic. Thank you. That's all I got for that.
All right. Thank you, Jake. AJ, I think you want to wrap it up?
Yes. And finally, so before we move on to Tom's ridership presentation, I wanted to see if the board had any questions on this plan. And again, today, we're not going to talk about these budgets and we're not going to ask the board to make any decisions, but we definitely want your input, your feedback, your questions, with a goal of bringing this item back to you in the regular board meeting on September 16, and providing you, you know, financials and in context to the budget where we are, and any questions that we cannot answer today, we of course would bring it back and provide you all of that information. So our goal today is to provide information and a preview and to address some of the concerns that we've heard and the fact that we've learned a lot in the 6 months that we've been in this COVID-19 environment. So, and then, so we'll take questions on that because it's a lot. And then maybe at the end, we'll take the questions about, we'll go to the ridership, Carl, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, that's perfect. Thank you, AJ. And to also to Jake, Matt, and Mark for all the information you just gave us. I think we do have some questions. So I see Emily, and I think I saw Josh, and I'll throw myself in there at some point too. Go ahead, Emily.
Sure, thank you, Carl. And thanks for giving us those updates, everyone. I'm curious, are the positions that are being requested or recommended that we're saying, are those in addition to hiring back all of the folks that have been laid off, including operators? Or are these just, if we're going to add back any staff, these are the minimal recommendations that are being made?
Yeah, the operators are part of the laid off group. And so we laid off 44 and we're recalling 10 or 12 at this point. And we'll present a longer range plan. This is just for the fall bid, by the way. This is for, you know, the end of this month when the bid starts. And then we'll provide a plan, more long-term plan at the meeting on the 16th.
Sure. I guess I want to clarify. So we're hiring back 10 or 12 operators and then some admins. But in addition to that, we're also requesting additional new hires, is that right? I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what that ask is.
Well, their budgeted positions are the new hires. So they're positions that are in the budget that we delayed hiring because we didn't really know the financial situation. And so, but they are new positions because, you know, we've really taken a look at needs and say, what, you know, what do we really need right now and to go forward to move this into the future.
Is there an, I'm sorry, I don't want to belabor this, but I'm feeling very sensitive to the folks that have been laid off with no real communication about when they may come back. And so I'd like to be really clear whether we're hiring someone new with this new position or if we're bringing someone back with this new title.
Anyone who is laid off has the opportunity to apply for these positions. So, I mean, I guess that's in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Emily. I appreciate you keeping on that because I was a little confused too. So that was good to get that clarification. And thanks, Mark. Next, we have Josh.
The really incredibly helpful to hear all of that. Just, I mean, in the form that we heard it, sounds like it makes sense. And I really appreciate the thoughtfulness with which you all are engaging this, you know, moment of chaos to try to figure out what the right structure is for the agency. So thank you for that hard work. I would ask, just so we can have good questions in advance of the board meeting, that we get, you know, a written version well in advance. I know that we've all been, you know, tight for time, but I think, you know, in the spirit of your comment about wanting to hear questions from us now so you can answer them in a couple of weeks, I think we kind of need to see this in black and white on the page, you know, at least a week before the other board meet, the next board meeting. That's my only request, but thank you very much.
Is there anybody else who'd like to ask? And Caitlin, if you text it to me, I can say it since I know you're having audio problems. Anybody else? Cause I'll throw myself in there if there's nobody else. Okay. I'll go ahead and go. I've got two things. First of all, I want to say thank you to Jake and AJ for the comments about the public safety. That has come up a lot, and I appreciate that there's some attention to it and that we're hiring people to try to address that, those issues that you identified. The other thing too is, I guess this one is to Mark. It sounds like what we're basing our hiring and our bid on is basically our current status right now, that we're trying to just make sure there's not a lot of change. Is that more or less correct?
No, there's actually quite a bit of change in the bid. The September 27 bid, we're adding 30,000 annual hours, annualized hours to our bid. So mainly increasing frequency and looking at where we're having overloads and trying to address those. We'll know a lot more by the end of October. You know, we'll know the results of that September bid. And you know, what we'll bring to the board next board meeting is a plan, you know, going forward. And so have how we plan on increasing service to what level and what's sustainable.
Mark, would it be fair to say, and I know this is a little bit rough to try to summarize, but that essentially the system we have now, but trying to really focus on overloads and trying to fix those situations, that's kind of what we're heading into, that you're planning on, is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, and you know, we're doing a lot more research into actual, you know, times and places where, you know, overloads are happening. And, you know, and again, I think with the increased service and the increased frequency, we'll know fairly quickly if the demand is there. So, you know, if overloads, you know, what happens with overloads, or do we eliminate them by just adding service, or more people actually going to take the bus because it's more convenient? Right. You know, I mean, because these runs under normal circumstances, that's a fairly easy model to figure out. Under the current situation, it's not. And so, you know, I think the September 27th bid, you know, will really inform us a lot for, you know, the next, you know, within a month, we'll pretty much know where we're at and what steps need to be taken next.
Thanks, Mark. That's I appreciate the clarification. For what it's worth, I support that approach that you're making. I have some comments from Caitlin. So if you can imagine me saying it in Caitlin's voice, she said she's glad to hear that we are bringing positions back as a response to our current challenges. She also said it is important to stay agile and frequently assess areas, assess what our needs are. She says, I support bringing back operators and refining service. She did have a question. Is the COVID specific position temporary? How quickly is that person going to be in that position or place? That's for Jake.
Yeah, so it is a temporary position that we would look at it helping us better manage everything in related to COVID. What we found is there's a lot of people doing different things. Specifically, you know, an example would be how we manage overloads and then how Tom is getting that data and, you know, trying to articulate that to the board of what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. So that's kind of one of the examples of, you know, what we're looking at. But it would be a temporary position. We currently have full-time supervisors and we have temporary supervisors that fill in their bus operators that fill in as a supervisor role to cover for vacations and various other reasons, special projects, that type of stuff. So we might look at that person, maybe a temporary supervisor to take on that project role and fill that position as needed to get us through this pandemic. So it would be more associated with, you know, however long this lasts, that person would fill in. And the other part of that is we're looking for the right person that fits that level that we need. So we could absolutely take a temporary supervisor, put them in a regular supervisor role, and then maybe one of the regular supervisors takes on the role of that pandemic supervisor. That's really about who best fits in there and is able to take that project on.
Great. Thank you, Jake. Caitlin, did that answer your question? You can just nod. Okay. or shake your head. It's like it worked. Any other questions or comments from other more members of the board? And I'm going to specifically check in with Don. Anything from you, Don? Well, we'll check in with him again later. Anybody else on the board before we move back? I'm going to check with AJ one more time, see if she has anything to add. Otherwise, we'll go to Tom. Okay, AJ, anything else you want to add or finish, conclude with?
Yes, I just want to make sure that as we set it up for the September meeting and Tom will go into the ridership, the decisions about the service that we're adding, the 30,000 that Mark mentioned, that decision was based on the information we had for 1 month. We do have a lengthy process in how we do a service change, and it's hard to predict. So we have 1 month's knowledge and then we're implementing a service change. And that's why that's very conservative. Know that we now have 2 months' knowledge. Now we have August knowledge. So what we will do is when we come back to you in September and talk about the path going forward, it will be with about 2.5 months worth of knowledge, which would be July, August, and half of September by then. So we're making incremental decisions, as Mark stated, every step of the way in which the options are available for the board to consider each step of the way. So that's why we want to make sure that when we come back in September, we put some financials to it so that you know the implications of what that recommendation is, how does it feel financially, and how do you feel about the timeline for implementing that. So we want to make sure you have all those moving pieces in advance of that. So up to now, Tom's been providing regular riderships, but those ridership for the current year have only been from July through August. So today, Tom will, I'll hand it over to Tom and he can continue to track all of that and tell us how we're looking. And then that helps inform decisions that we make at the September meeting. So just wanted to say that, you know, we always consider everything according to budget And we only have, at the time we made the decision for the 30,000, we only had about 30 days worth of data to be able to make that decision. And as we get more data, we'll make new recommendations and we'll engage the board in making sure that, you know, you want us to go a certain way, that we go in the direction that you feel is most appropriate for the district. Up to now, as Mark said, I think the board taking a very conservative approach has served us well. We want to make sure that you continue to feel comfortable that the decisions you're making are in line with what you want to see. So, Carl, that's it. And I'm ready for Tom's presentation whenever he's ready.
Thank you very much, AJ. Yeah, I want to acknowledge, thank you very much for mentioning that the financials are an important part of this, and that the board did have to make a very difficult decision that hopefully worked out well for everyone. But it's probably good to revisit that as we go along. Before we go to Tom, just Josh, I want to check. I couldn't tell if your hand was raised new or if that's the old one.
Yeah, it's new. I'll try very quick. Thank you, Carl. AJ, I guess this is directed at Mark as well. I understand we don't have a lot of data in this operating environment. No pushback there. But I want to make sure that we don't talk about the potential value and implications of increased service just in terms of what we think we know from a month or 2 months. Unemployment is up versus pre-pandemic, but it seems to have stabilized for the time being. We have previous ridership as some sort of compass or benchmark. And then also we have tons of evidence from this community and from many, many other communities for the value of frequency. And given how many places we're operating hourly service, or even half hourly service that could be more frequent, I just want to make sure we don't lose track of the fact that we know there's potential benefit in increasing service. I'm not saying there isn't a cost, and that's why I think that the September board meeting discussion is so important, where we can look at the cost implications of it. But I guess, AJ, I know what you mean, I think, when you say we only have a month or 2 months or 2.5 months, or we'll have 2.5 months of data, but to me, it's not the fullest picture. I just want to make sure we think about those other reference points. So I'll leave it at that for now, and we'll talk about it more in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Josh. Oh, and I see Emily. Go ahead, Emily.
Sorry. I also wanted to just ask, it sounds like there's some potential for additional federal dollars. I'd like to understand what we might be applying for potentially, and then what we're going to do if we don't receive any additional funds, just to make sure that we're not overestimating our potential inflows there, so that we're being conservative.
Yeah, and I can respond to that. I mean, you know, we have we have formula funds. We call formula funds that we get. We know we're getting that money every time. Everything else is discretionary and competitive. So, you know, all we can really depend on are the formula funds and the CARES Act money we already have. And so that's what we're really basing most of our, financial decisions going forward. And what we'll present to you is, in a sustainable model, frees us up from dependence on federal funds for operating.
Thank you. Just wanted to make sure we were not overestimating what we might receive. So thanks for confirming that, Mark.
Yeah.
Great. This seems like a good time to go to Tom. So Tom, we look forward to your ridership update.
All right, here goes. Y'all can see that, I assume. Oh, no, you can't.
Actually, no.
I have to share my screen. I've been doing this all day. What gives?
We have great imaginations, though, so if you need us to just picture in our mind.
Well, you'll recognize this this first slide for sure. But what I wanted to do, so we're going to go through the report, but we've got a lot of data on the overloads, but we've only been presenting a small part of that to you. So I want to dig a little bit deeper into some of the information around our overloads, and then I'm going to walk through the rest of the report, and I can describe in a little more detail what the proposed fall bid is going to look like. So that might be helpful to you. So to start with, if you, it's hard for you to discern this chart from other previous charts you've seen. That's because it's pretty stable. I'd say the only thing I would talk about on this chart is on this page is this last, like just yesterday, is some of the highest ridership we've seen. We've been ticking around at a little above 12,000, and that's about closer to 13,500. So we'll just see if that's something that that means anything. It's also the beginning of the month, so we tend to see more trip making at that point in time. But anyway, otherwise things remain pretty stable here. This is the overload chart that you're used to seeing for our 40-foot buses. And again, with looking at it from this viewpoint, you can see which routes are contributing a lot just visually. So the 41 is that persistent brown that you see throughout the chart. And then again, the 13 and the 66, 67 make up the bulk of the rest of it. But one of the things that we did here, one of the things that I think some folks were asking was, okay, we're looking at the overloads in that previous chart, but how many are operating at 30? I'm sorry, 20 in terms of 40-foot buses. And so the blue part of the bar is those are those trips that are operating at 20. And then the orange bars are those that are above 20. So that's the number of trips each day that have more than 20 passengers in orange. And so the next question that we were looking at was, okay, in these trips that are over capacity or overload, how much over 20 are they? And so we have a graph here that starts to look at that. And so what you can see here, so the green is all the trips on a given day that were between 20 and 24. And just so you know, kind of what we were thinking about and why we chose 24. 24 is a number that TriMet's been using in terms of looking at judging the drivers make a decision. There's up to 24 if there's families on board. So that's just a number that I thought would be useful to, as a scale. Then the next level is between 25 and 28 passengers. And then the yellow is 28 and over. And so you can see on 40-foot buses, we do have days and sometimes weeks where we have one to three, it looks like, trips at 28 and over. As you can see here, 79% of the total overloads are in the 20 to 24. 15% of the overload trips are at that 25 to 28. And then about 6% of those overloads are the 28 and above. I asked our service planners to look at the which routes were contributing the most. And you can judge that from the first chart a little bit, but I just to give you the measure, the 41 accounts for just over a third of our overload trips for this time period, followed by the 13 at 19% of the trips, and the Valley River, or 66, 67 combined is 30%, but 18 and 12 respectively. And overall, then those four routes account for about 83% of our overloads on 40-foot buses. So moving on to the 60-foot buses. Again, this is the chart you're used to seeing And it's been updated for today, but this is what it looks like. Again, you can see mostly MX, but with some 11s and 52. Well, I guess there's no 52s in this span of time. But then in the same fashion, we looked at, well, okay, those are the buses that are over 30, but what about the ones that are just at 30? And again, the blue bar represents where we're carrying right at the capacity or the load limit there. And then the orange is where we've got overloads. And so we did the same kind of analysis for our 60-foot buses in terms of kind of what scale. And so we had 30 to 34 in green, 35 to 38 is blue, and then 39, more than 39 in yellow. And so for this time period, the green represents about 62% of the overloads on our 60-foot buses. 15% are in that 35 to 38 scale, a range rather, and then loads over 38 represent about 6%. So 6% of these are at that higher end for both 40 and 60 foot buses. let's see. Oops. A couple of things. In addition to the overloads that we capture, you've heard us talk about how drivers can go into drop-off only mode or a similar situation. And so we're just starting to look at this data a little bit more closely. But for this last week, there were 28 trips reported with overloads, in other words, that went into this situation. 97 people were passed by or left behind. And again, the 41 accounted for half of the reported overloads, and about two-thirds of the passengers that were left behind. So that's the overloads. There we go. We have some pictures from the station last night at about 9:30. And thought you'd be interested in seeing. There's actually a lot of activity going on there. People are getting on, and again, just you saw that the 41 has a lot of the overloads that we experience. The 41 is actually has a lot of interesting patterns, as you can see here. There's several people getting on the bus at 9:30 at night. That's a kind of an illustration of essential trip making. The other piece of that is the 41, as you know, goes out 99 and out along Barger, it's carrying a lot of essential workers that live in that area and work as well. And so we see a lot of, you can look at the patterns of boardings by time of day, by route, and you can see in the morning there's a lot of trips that are being made, a lot of boardings, and that actually contribute to the 41 having a lot of overloads. All these people are coming into the Eugene station. We're looking into the way in which we might be able to discern how many of them transfer to other buses or are going to work in that area. But then you see the same pattern at night. So you can see people this time of night and earlier getting on the bus in large numbers on the 41 to head home. So it's just a good way to actually visualize what's going on when we look at this data.
Hey, Tom, I see Josh's hand up. He might have a question that's pertinent to what you just said. So go ahead, Josh.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it, Carl. And I want to be mindful of the time. I know we're way over our usual amount of time. Quick clarifications. you had the 66 and the 67. I think one of them you didn't have on there, sort of described at the bottom, but actually that's basically the same route. So really 30% of the overages just in that one loop. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes. That's the way to look at it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to focus our minds geographically, and I didn't want to split those up if they are essentially
right. Well, and I'll just say the significance of the 41 then is that it's one route, and it has not too dissimilar distance.
Yeah,
it's a 66 or 67 carrying that many.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's a significance.
Okay, that's cool. And then quickly, I didn't hear you mention trippers anywhere, and I realize that we get a bunch of data, but then anecdotally we hear about trippers. Maybe say something about like the extent to which we are addressing the problem, or it would be worse. I just realized those things are sort of disconnected.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good question. And I don't have the precise number of trippers we're operating right now, but we are employing trippers to address some of the more persistent overloads on the 66 and 67, for example. As part of the fall bid, and I can go into a little bit more of that, we're adding several trips to the 41 for that same reason. So, we're making use of the trippers kind of in between bids, if you will, to address some of these issues.
Thanks, Tom. I see Don's hand up just in case. Don, did you want to ask your question right now?
Yes, I guess it was following on to the same thing about the trippers, and I noticed on the 41 there were like 65 people left on the left behind, and that runs an hourly schedule, right? So
yes.
That the people getting left behind are going to be pretty disadvantaged. That's quite a distance from their central area if they're essential workers. And if we're not running trippers to pick them up, is there any, I mean, do they still use that emergency ride home or anything like that to help alleviate that problem?
I might ask Jake to weigh in here on what's going on with those pass-by trips.
Sure. So there's a variety of things that we can do to address that. Sometimes we'll send a bus out to pick those individuals up. Other times, depending on the stop and the situation, sometimes it's not necessarily essential workers, and they will tell the operator, I'm fine waiting for the next bus, which, you know, it's hard to imagine when it's an hour to wait, but in some cases, they don't really care about that. Other times, you know, we may get an individual that says, you know, I have a doctor's appointment, I can't not take this bus. In that incident, we may have, there's several options. We can have a stand operator transport by bus or by what we would call a shuttle or a taxi. The other thing is we'll have a supervisor sometimes go out and make contact with the individuals that were could be possibly left behind. There's sometimes too that, you know, whatever action we take, there's no one there. So we've communicated with the customer. We said we have a supervisor on the way. The supervisor is going to transport, and then we get there and there's no one there. So that's kind of the steps that we take. In regards to kind of using the term trippers, is usually more associated with when we've identified a route with a problem like overloads. If school is going, sometimes you'll see that on the 11 used to be the norm in regards to, you know, we have people trying to get to work, people trying to get to school. So we have a packed 60-foot bus. And then you'll see another bus right behind it because planning's identified, you know, that, hey, this is a problem. And sometimes planning just catches that in reviewing numbers. And we get feedback from the operators. We'll do a bid and, you know, an operator will be like, okay, my 66 or excuse me, my 11 at 8 in the morning is cram packed, and I'm having to pass by people and go drop off only. So planning will have to make adjustments in the bid and actually put extra trips on that route so we can supplement it. And that's pretty common that we do that. So that's what we've done, some of that existing on the current bid, but that again goes back to some of the reasons why we need to bring some operators back so we have those resources that we're able to supply those extra trips or extra buses that we need to, especially, you know, you look at the beginning of the pandemic and you look at the impact. Eugene looked like a ghost town. It was almost eerie to drive home in what we used to call rush hour. Well, we're seeing people go back to work. So, you know, we are experiencing more people getting back on transit. And so we do need to be prepared to make those additions to the trips as people go back to work and, you know, balance that the best that we can in regards to whatever's going to happen with the pandemic next month and whatever orders we're going to get from the governor, which could impact that decision as well.
Yeah, and one other thing we do when we're looking at pass-bys and impacts on customers is our, you know, customer complaint system. And so one of the things that we did is had our customer service folks said, look, I want to know all the customer complaints we've had since April about pass-bys, you know, where we just weren't able to pick people up for whatever reason. And there was only 8. You know, which is really surprising to me because we had more than 8 under normal circumstances in any given time. So, you know, I just find that an interesting bit of information about, you know, the impact on customers and, you know, whether, you know, the impact, for long-term for them as far as complaining, they aren't doing that, but so it's hard to say.
Thanks, Jake and Mark. You know, we were doing good on time. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew that we actually had planned to go to 5:30. So, but in the interest of time, I wanted to ask a pertinent question. Then I think Josh had something. And then Tom, if that's okay, maybe just a couple minutes to wrap up.
Yep.
Great. So my question is, at what point do we say that we need to go away from just doing a tripper system to just increasing the frequency of that particular route? Like what is the switch that makes us go one way or the other?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we'll put trippers out to address a problem that we see on the system. And if we're seeing a problem after a bid has started, it means we missed that problem or didn't anticipate the scale. And that was true in the early years of the student transit pass. That program grew tremendously each year. And so we put out more buses, but we occasionally needed to add others. So that strategy is something that's intended to address an immediate issue. It would then be, so like I was saying, with this upcoming fall bid, we're adding a number of trips to the 41 and 66, 67 to address overloads.
I see. So it's already being taken into account then.
So it's bid to bid. Yeah. So it's bid to bid. Yeah. Trippers are meant to be short-term solutions.
Gotcha. Right. Gotcha. Thank you. Josh, and then we'll wrap up with Tom.
Actually, Carl, your first question, your question was my first one. So thank you for that answer. The second question is just a request in our next meeting. I think it sounds like you all are planning on having this, but just have some brief explicit rationale for why we're adding service in different places and what we expect the implications to be, just so we can kind of follow the rationale. I just, as I've kind of expressed before, I want to be mindful of the fact that our level of service and our allocation of service is essentially a policy decision, and we're sort of wrestling with how to participate in it as a board when everything has to change so quickly and you guys have such a burden operationally figuring out the details. So just, you know, could be 6 bullet points or half a page or something. It doesn't have to be long, but just rationale for the new service would be great.
Great, take us home, Tom.
Actually, that's, unless you have specific questions, I know we're short on time. That was the primary focus of the presentation. Again, if time permitted, I could answer questions you might have about the fall.
Oh, yeah, I think one last call for questions. I'm sorry, I thought you had more to present. So that works out just fine. So checking around, anybody have last questions or comments? Okay. I think you did it, Tom. Thank you very much for that presentation.
Sure.
I really appreciate it. Looks like we're have a lot to look forward to in September. Since there are no more other comments, I think this meeting has concluded. So I am going to go ahead and adjourn. Thank you very much, everyone, for participating today, and members of the public and staff. We will see you at the next meeting in 2 weeks. And please stay safe, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.